Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I'm joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
Seth Haphacker.
Good morning.
And all of you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you guys are having a good one out there. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah.
Fun things lined up for you throughout this hour. Touch on a little entertainment. Got some other good stuff we want to get into involving food, like four healthy foods that aren't as healthy as you might think.
Okay.
And the three healthiest and least healthiest condiments. We will be getting into all of that. But of course, it is a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. You know what that means, everybody.
Tell me something good.
Hello and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR, the fun food show that we use to entertain you and sometimes depress you.
Wow, what an opening. I love it. That's great.
Well, today we're going to talk about lead contamination in food.
Really?
This has been pretty high on the radar for a lot of people here recently, especially with the recall of the cinnamon apple sauce pouches that had ridiculously high levels of lead contamination. So today we're going to focus on several different articles that I found over the weekend. One from Food Safety News titled Consumer Reports Investigation Finds High Levels of Lead in Lunchables.
Yeah.
How many of us have eaten a Lunchable?
Oh, yes.
I
have.
In the day.
I mean, they've been...
My children have, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been in use since the 1980s.
Wow.
Believe it or not.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. takes me back. Oh, no.
Yeah, right.
And everybody knows not only the Lunchables, but the like generic versions. I mean, there's a lot of different versions of that.
Yes.
But essentially, the same kind of thing, what you're seeing.
Right. Yep.
It's a prepackaged kit that has usually very processed meat, cheese, crackers, and some kind of like a dessert, right?
Right.
That's kind of what we all... And it was a special treat when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Me too. We very rarely use them. Yep.
And would this be the first kind of charcuterie board?
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Ooh.
Those have definitely come into use a lot here.
Oh, yeah.
In recent years. We all know how to say the word charcuterie.
Charcuterie.
Yes.
We don't know how to spell it.
I was going to say, don't even try to read it. Just say it.
There's a Q in there.
Charcuterie.
With this subject, this is one of those ones, Melissa, where not only does it affect our kids, we were affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
There's almost no statistical chance that we didn't ingest some of this as kids or anything.
Yep.
Well, and part of the problem with lead in particular is that the risks associated with lead exposure are cumulative.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to minimize exposure whenever possible.
Want to encourage people to check out the article that Melissa sent to Seth and I. Foodsafetynews.com is where you can find it, foodsafetynews.com. In that, they talk about a lot of the risks with this, the finding of metals. But additionally, just quoting from the article, additionally, some kits showed potentially dangerous levels of heavy metals and a word I can't say. phthalates, alfalfates, a type of chemical used in plastic products, poisoning health risk with regular consumption.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that last part, that regular consumption part, there's so many layers to this, Melissa, and I really want to stretch our legs and get into this, because there's one part of this where I'm reading the article and I read the other article and I get done, and one of the first things I think of is, man, we have really become comfortable with processed meats and all that.
Oh, 100%.
We're just completely fine with that now. That's just a thing that we don't fight back on. We don't push anything about it. I was talking to a friend of mine, Marissa, and she is a athletic trainer. I went to school for it, knows her stuff and everything. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of a conversation you and I had on Playmakers, Seth, that sent me down a rabbit hole of the PCL or the UCL joint in our elbows.
Yeah, the tendon, yep.
It doesn't completely become developed until 26.
26.
Do you realize, and this is not common enough knowledge, nothing is developed in our body until we're 26. Like we're all of this stuff is still growing and defining and everything.
Yes, it's true.
And there is no more vital time in our lives as far as our health is concerned and taking care of ourselves than those early years. Mm-hmm. That stuff, what we do in our bodies is built, we're built on. It's our foundation for when we finally get into those mid late 20s and early 30s and everything. We put in the work in early, hopefully. So this, all of this comes back to the kids. And this is what we're feeding kids at the most important time of their lives, when their bodies are developing, their brains are developing, and processed meats is nothing to us to just throw at them.
Right.
And the fact that these companies that, like, I just wanted to, I don't know if you have this or not, Melissa, I apologize if I'm stepping on your feet. I'm just really excited about this conversation. they asked the people, Fortune magazine asked the CEO of Lunchables and Kraft Heinz company about this conversation. And just reading from what they said, Lunchables makers, the Kraft Heinz company, told Consumer Reports that its products, quote, meet strict safety standards, and added that lead and cadmium occur naturally in the environment and may be present in low levels in their food products. The company did not immediately respond to Fortune's request and have not pulled any of their products because they don't care.
They make a lot of money.
That's part of it.
It's part of it. That's part of it.
And do you guys remember that a little less than a year ago, they've started serving Lunchables in some school lunch programs?
Yeah.
Because of the cost. They're cheap.
Yep. Yeah.
That's what they can afford. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And why are they cheap? Because they're...
Well, sorry, that's what we're getting into. Yes.
But yes, it does say, according to this article here on Food Safety News, that Consumer Reports have taken proactive steps to address the issue, including petitioning the United States Department of Agriculture to remove Lunchables from school lunch programs.
Mm.
Now, when we talked about the cinnamon applesauce outbreak of lead poisonings, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, there have been 519 reported cases across 44 states. And now this is acute lead poisoning. The levels in those particular products were high enough to send these kids to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Reading right from Consumer Reports article, quote, we don't think anybody should regularly eat these products, and they definitely shouldn't be considered a healthy school lunch, says Eric Boring, PhD and CR chemist, who led the Consumer Reports testing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if you look further in that article, they actually they tested 12 different lunch kits. So these were not just Lunchables.
Right.
A lot of them were different varieties of that, but then also Armor Lunch Makers, Good and Gather from Target, Greenfield Natural Meat Company. So the thing is they found levels of lead and high levels of sodium in all of these products. What they tested them, you know, like the only way that they could measure them, because there are no federal limits for heavy metals in most foods.
Yikes.
Let me say that one more time. There are no federal limits for heavy metals in most foods.
How?
So what they went by are California's lead standards.
Okay.
For the turkey and cheddar cheese cracker stackers Lunchable, 74% of your lead intake allowable by California's lead standards.
And that's one of the good ones.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's right. That's the standard. Yeah.
By states-wise, one of the good ones.
Well, because you like turkey and cheddar. Well, that's got to be good, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then 49% of sodium. And none of us are surprised by the high levels of sodium in processed meat. We all know that.
Oh, no. No, I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, go ahead, James.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to change the topic, so go ahead.
I was just going to say that I do think that there is something also. I think that every adult out there, we understand, too, that there are some things that are always going to be in our food, that there is always, that there is some stuff that is not able to, you know, whether it's in the soil and it's in the, you know, that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, and just to piggyback off that, the statement that the CEO mayor that Kraft said was like, these are naturally occurring. But yeah, there's a lot of naturally occurring things that we don't want to put in our bodies. You know, mercury is naturally occurring. That will kill you. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to use that. So that's no defense. That's
Well, on that topic, because that's actually what I was going to segue into, is the assertion that it's naturally occurring in the environment. Okay. But what puts it there?
Right.
So that's a good point.
I found another article on Vox.com. It's titled "Leaded Poisoning Symptoms Exposure to Children." Whatever. I'm not going to jump up to read the actual title because I don't want to miss where I am in the article. But it says that lead usage has actually been on the rise worldwide, even in the United States. The proliferation of lead-acid batteries globally and less stringent rules in the developing world for everything from cookware to spices has allowed lead consumption to grow despite its known health risks. Lead is linked to a wide range of neurological and developmental problems, and exposure is especially dangerous for children. Research has found kids with elevated levels of lead in their blood experience a range of effects from speech and hearing problems to learning and behavioral issues. They develop more slowly, physically, and mentally. Now, just because we have lessened our use of lead, like, you know, lead paint, obviously, we took the lead out of gasoline a long time ago. But what has happened is that we've just shifted that lead usage to other countries. So some of the, in a globalized economy, some of the same lead pollution endangering children in those countries can find its way into consumer products that travel across the world and contaminate the food that children in the U.S. eat.
Right.
So in the case of the applesauce, that cinnamon was originally harvested in Sri Lanka, and then it was shipped to Ecuador, where it was ground into powder to be mixed into the products. Now, both countries are dealing with lead exposure crises. One 2021 study found that almost all mothers and children living in a certain area in Ecuador had levels of lead and other metals in their blood that exceed public health guidelines. The pollution stemming from Sri Lanka's active lead-acid battery manufacturing and recycling sector has created health problems for the workers and people who live near the plants. When the applesauce ingredients passed through Ecuador, they were contaminated there with lead before they were moved for sale to the U.S., where, as we said before, there have been more than, this article says, more than 500 confirmed or suspected cases of acute lead poisoning related to those recalled products.
Wow.
One of the things that stands out to me about this, I don't expect businesses to act human. Their businesses, they care about their bottom line. That's what they're going to do.
That's what they are.
It is on us as consumers to not use those products and keep that business around and put them out of business without not you buying their products.
Right.
So that comes down to that part. And to me, that's put aside. But and I've looked into this. I'm not just talking from the hip here or anything. I've looked into how many FDA workers we have per state, how often they work, what the kind of job they have. If you've ever been in a grocery store, you probably understand that there's a lot of products out there, and there's a lot to cover here. And I'm not at all making light of that. And I'm not making light of the fact that there's not enough FDA workers. There's not enough people going into government work these days. There's a lot of other conversation to be had for that.
Right.
But what are we doing? Why do we have these things if they can't get things done? And I think that that's a key part of the story, and I think it's something important to think about, especially in election year. But the other part of this that stands out to me, too, it comes back to the same conversation I think we've been having pretty much since we were kids. How do we make healthy food cheaper? More affordable.
More available.
More available. How do we do this? How do we fix this in society where, you know, not just our children in schools, but people of lower income are able to eat healthier? Like, how do we do this? There is certainly, you know, everybody under the sun will tell you to compare kind of shopping.
Right.
Farmers markets are another way of this, but that doesn't help schools. What do we do for schools when it comes to that? This is a conversation we have to have. This is something we should be focusing on. How about quit worrying about banning books and get our kids some healthy dang food? You know, I'm a little more focused on that.
Yeah.
If I don't want my kid to read that book, let me just take that out of your hand. Thank you. There we go. Done.
Yep.
Done. Paying attention to what your children are doing shouldn't be on a librarian.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And let's focus on the things, because while it's such, it is so low-hanging fruit for politicians to be able to ban books and this stuff and everything, because it catches headlines and it gets you all riled up and everything, and maybe you'll vote for them then. If anybody gives a damn about actually why to get into politics and what you're supposed to be doing as a politician, this is where your focus should be, is getting lunches healthier for kids.
Yep.
And maybe one of the ways that we do that is we figure out how to stop wasting so much food in America.
Mm-hmm.
The United States discards more food than any other country in the world, nearly 60 million tons, or 120 billion pounds every year. That's 40% of the entire U.S. food supply.
Well,
that means each single one of us is wasting 325 pounds every year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should also remind everybody that if you weren't with us in the beginning of the show, just go back to the beginning of the show. We already solved this.
Yep.
You just don't go shopping hungry. That's all. And then done. We're done.
Problem solved. like racism. Yeah.
In all seriousness, to help increase consumers' ability to pay for healthy foods, California can make sure that existing nutrition assistance funds are accepted at all healthy food realtors, promoting CalFresh acceptance in certified farmers markets. This is something that's going on a lot right now, too, with food share organizations, mm-hmm. or what used to be, when I was a kid, food stamps, a lot of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Back in the day, you'd never be able to do this. It was such a strict list of what you could use those yep. things on. Mm-hmm. Now you are able to buy healthier foods.
Mm-hmm.
And before anybody wants to bark about my tax dollar this, my tax dollar that, those kids, those people that are eating those foods are going to go on to work in our workforce and pay taxes themselves and probably pay for your this or that when you retire one day. It all adds up, everybody. Miss right. me with that. Get away from me with that. I don't even want to hear it. But California taking some initiative on this, and other states doing that. There are states out there where you still can't do this, where mm-hmm. it is a very strict thing. So then you're limiting lower income families even more.
Yep. Yeah.
From that, it's something that we need to be focusing on. We need to put more focus on. Right. And need more work into.
Right. Right.
And just to bring back the conversation back to the honestly difficult truth about lead. Is that even though we here in the U.S. have cracked down within the borders of the United States, pollution persists elsewhere. And in some cases, American efforts to reduce our own pollution has merely moved the contamination to other parts of the world. Stephen Lubbe, who studies lead pollution at Stanford University, said, "So much of the food that we eat is coming from all over the world. So we are deluding ourselves if we think we can push pollution problems to low-income countries and not worry about it."
Mm-hmm. I just totally came across it, mm-hmm. and I wanted to wrap up with this because this is not something that's new. We've been dealing with this kind of stuff for many, many years. Do you guys know what nitrogen trichloride is?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, he had a hit song in the 80s. Yeah,
that actually sounds like a pretty good band name.
It doesn't sound
or right. Trichloramine is the other name for it.
I was going to say it sounds like a gas and bleach.
It's a chemical compound actually. It's a yellow, oily, pungent smelling and in its most concentrated form, explosive liquid. That is most commonly encountered as a byproduct of chemical reactions between ammonia derivatives and chlorine.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. So that smell at the swimming pool,
yeah.
that's what you're smelling.
Okay
that yeah, kind of chlorine yeah. kind of smell. This blew my mind. Nitrogen trichloride, trademark as Agene, was at one time used to bleach flour.
Oh, God.
But this practice was banned in the United States in 1949 due to safety concerns. It was so bad that the baking companies said, "We need to stop doing this."
Wow, yeah.
They literally, they were not forced like the government said, "No, you have to stop doing that." They're like, "We found out something really bad. We're not going to use this anymore." So this is not new. We've been dealing with this for ever since there's been a country kind of thing. So I just want to remind people, but change can happen.
Yes.
We can do stuff like this. Now, I don't think that the companies today are going to do what they did back then and say, yeah. "Oh, we're going to stop doing it." No, they have to be forced into doing it. And that's kind of what we've been talking about today, you know? Have your voice heard. We need regulation. We need all this kind of stuff. We need more FDA people. We need whatever you want. That's what we need to do in order to help this with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's right. And with many of these things that we've talked about repeatedly, you know, these chemicals that we're putting into the earth, they have an effect on us. You know, that yes, we stopped adding lead to gasoline and paint,
mm-hmm.
but it's a lot of it is still in our soil.
Yep.
You know, that's how it gets into the cinnamon. It's in the soil, mm-hmm. and it gets sucked up into the tree. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like the excessive contamination of it happened later down the processing line. But just like we're dealing with PFAS here in Wisconsin and across the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
But all of these using of chemicals and things that are not natural have an effect, lasting effect. And we need to not ignore it.
It's something we should have been doing all along, and it's long important that everything we do going forward, we're thinking about the next step, that where this goes, how far it goes, and how long it lasts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, though, I don't know why more people don't do what I do. I could fix this whole thing. Just forget to eat. I do it all the time. I do it every day. I don't see what the big deal is here. Forget to eat.
But if you are concerned about lead levels in your own body, see your healthcare provider. Mm-hmm. Make an appointment for your kids. I believe it's just a blood test, and they can check your levels of lead. And it's better to do it, sooner than later.
Or walk around magnets. If they attract, then you're in trouble.
Lead isn't magnetic.
No, it's not. It's not. That was a bad joke. I was just trying to find a way to lighten the.
How are we going to wrap up the show?
Wrap up the segment. I was just trying to find a light with it. Thank you.
Well, I think with that, we should close.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes. Nicely done, Melissa. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Really, very good. Really good topic. Good topic. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Good one. I'm looking forward to another Kitchens Open next Monday. Be on the lookout for that, everybody. Join us every Monday in this 9 o'clock, kick off the 9 o'clock hour with a great Kitchens Open segment. And reach out to our staff, because we would love to have you as a sponsor for that segment. All you got to do is call 424-1300, reach out to our sales team, and we'll get you hooked up with being a partner on this show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can showcase your business during this hour.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be back with more fun on the morning show. Tell me something good. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Going to dive a little bit into some entertainment news real quick before we get to our news break. And a couple of big ones here. This one, I think, is quite interesting. A biopic on Chris Farley is in the works, and it'll be directed by Olaf. By Josh Gad.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Of course, famous for playing Olaf and a bunch of other things Josh Gad is famous for. But Paul Walter Hauser will star. You may know him as Raymond Stingray Porter on the Netflix series Cobra Kai. From his Emmy-winning performance as Larry in Blackbird. He's also a budding pro wrestler, so you may have seen him in WWE or something that, too.
Wow.
But he resembles Chris a bit. He looks pretty close to him and everything. Biopics are always dangerous because like studios see, this is going to win awards. Oh, this is going to win awards. I mean, almost every year you see, look at Oppenheimer this year. Mm-hmm. Oppenheimer is not a biopic, but it's basically all about J.D. Salinger. Mm-hmm.
not Oppenheimer. Yeah.
Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I said J.D. Salinger. So there's certainly a lot of history for this. We know that it'll get a lot of awards. But then there is also like the Amy Winehouse biopic that just came out, Back to Black or whatever. Mm-hmm. That it feels like the only reason they released that movie is to shred that movie. It's getting not only horrible reviews, but the young lady who plays Amy Winehouse seems to have done a horrible job. They put her in a horrible spot to do her own singing, and she sounds nothing like it's just really, really bad. And there are people out there who feel that younger generations that don't know who Amy Winehouse is, this is their first impression of her, and they're getting like, well, I don't want to listen to that. Well, I don't want to. So it's interesting. It's a tough game to walk. And I almost feel like even though we lost Chris Farley ages ago, it's too soon. As weird as that is to say, it's almost there's too many of us that have fresh memories of Chris Farley. And this actor, this Paul Walter, I don't know him that well. There's no way. There's just no way he could reach those levels. I deal with this every day, almost in class. Almost every semester, I got a kid that comes in that wants to be Chris Farley. Not Jim Belushi, not Chevy Chase or any of these other legends we've had at Second City. Every semester, there is somebody that wants to be Chris Farley. And we have to tell them and talk to them about this and explain to them. I had one kid who was crying when he realized, when it, you could see it in his eyes when it dawned on him, you are not going to be Chris Farley. You could be Joe. His name is Joe. You could be the next Joe, but you're not going to be the next Farley. Like, what Chris was able to do, we've studied this at school. We've gone over this and everything. We have this lesson we teach at Second City where you take any emotion and go through 1 through 10. I want happy at a 1. I want happy at a 2. I want happy at a 3. And you slowly build your smile. You slowly build these things. It helps you kind of understand emotions and where to use them and all that. Chris Farley is one of the few human beings in our lifetimes that could go from 0 to 1,000 and make it look realistic, make it look believable. It's comedy, so nobody wants to think about it. Nobody wants to put the time into it and everything. But I have, and I know plenty of other people that have. And that man was an artist, was a true artist. What he was able to do with comedy, few people were ever able to do. And so asking somebody to play him is almost an impossible task.
Right, right. And that's why I was going to ask someone, like, because I like Chris Farley, but I was never a big fan, you know, of his. Like, wow, he's a comic genius kind of thing. I'm not, and I'm not downplaying him when I say that.
Yeah, yeah. No.
But I know, James, you're a lot closer to that just because of your attachment to Second City and all that kind of stuff. To me, it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why make them? I mean, I know why everyone in Hollywood or the movie business, why they do it. To make money. That's why they they think, wow, we have a market here. Let's do a biopic of Chris Farley. People still love Chris Farley. Let's go ahead and do that. But what are they going to focus on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can still watch all of his comedy bits that he did on Saturday Night Live. You can watch his movies. You can watch some of his live stuff that he did, you know, wherever. What's the point? Because that means what are they going to be focusing on?
Yeah.
The bad stuff, right? His issues, his problems, and all these kinds of things. And while there's room for that, you know, saying, you know, maybe bringing more awareness to this. I get that part of it. But man, to me, a lot of it feels like exploitation. It really does.
100%. 100%.
He was only 33.
Yeah.
And he died in 1997. I, like you have said, I don't think enough time has passed.
Yeah, I really don't. And I think that's an important part, a point that you're making there too, Seth, about what do we have to gain from something like this?
Right. He's not here to give his two cents about it, like a lot of artists have done with biopics. You know, they didn't like everything about it, but they were able to say, you know, whatever, and maybe give their blessing, you know, but he's gone.
I don't know if there's ever a time where I'm willing to watch a biopic or watch a documentary even that doesn't have at least somebody from the family or somebody involved in it. You know, there's times where it makes sense that they're not because you know where the what the documentary is about or whatever. You know,
right? Or they're like a serial killer or something
like
that. Yeah.
You know, in those situations, yeah.
I'm fine without hearing from them. Right?
Wiggle room there, a little wiggle room on that, but something like this. Chris Farley's got a family that has stayed very active, considering in the public eye in many ways, and they talk about Chris quite a bit, and they've shared things about Chris. There was a great Here's another thing. There was a great bio that came out about Chris Farley just a couple of years ago. I feel like really nailed this already.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Another thing, kind of similar thing almost. Reese Witherspoon is working on a Legally Blonde TV series. She's working with Amazon to develop the series. It's early on, so there's no any plot details yet. It's unclear if Reese will play Elle Woods again. She previously said back in 2019 that she'd love to discover what age means to that character, to Elle Woods' character in Legally Blonde and everything. I will say as a side note, one, I think Reese Witherspoon is one of the top 10 actresses in the world. I think she's that good and very, very good at what she does. I only saw Legally Blonde because of the girl I was dating at the time, and I'm so glad I saw that movie.
Right,
that is a great.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie. Like, not only is Reese Witherspoon really good in it, but what's her name that is all over now? She's blown up. But the lady that plays her friend in it and everything, she's
I've
older.
Never seen
I can't
him,
think
so.
Of it. I can't think of her name, but
I'll find it.
You know her if you saw.
We'll still find it.
Yeah. it was a good movie. It was a good movie.
Right.
It was one of those ones where it was like, hey, even I who make such a point of don't judge a book by its cover thing. I can learn from that sometimes. Right.
Well, and again, this is a known property. Okay, I've got something, and I'm half joking, but I'm half serious when I say this. Why do we have to keep going with like successful things where, you know, it's so hard to maintain the level of how good it was, you know, that kind of thing. Why don't we do properties that just stunk?
Yes.
And then try to remake them, but better.
Yes. I don't understand this. I'm so with you, 1,000,000,000% with you on this. There are, I was talking about this, like, I don't know, a year ago, and it's actually referencing some I brought up the other day, Lady Hawk. There's so many movies where, everything, this was at 8, this was out of 10, this is at a 7 out of 10, this is at an 8 out of 10, this is at a 0 out of 10. But everything else was fine. So just fix that one part. I'm with you on this.
It could work. It's a good idea.
Quit remaking good things. They're already fine.
Remake the bad things. Make them better.
Yes.
I think we're on the cusp of a revolution here, man.
This is the next phase of Hollywood. We're going to fix our mistakes.
Let's make a good Lamageddon. That's what we're looking for, a good one. Yes. But that would then kind of get the charm. But then they kind of did that. Well, I can't say that. I'm still very bitter about the fact they remade Roadhouse. Because
I love that Roadhouse
is the best bad movie ever made. Okay, that's the standard that you have to measure all bad movies against. Okay. But so I'm very torn on that. I'm not going to watch the new one because it's like, no, the first one is too perfect. and it's badness. So, but it's, and you, I don't know if they made it good or not.
Yeah.
But can you make something that iconic? You intentionally make it bad? Can you do that?
Yes.
I don't know if you can. Yeah, I don't know if you can intentionally make something bad.
It almost shows when people try to do that. So yeah, I don't know. But
there's no Patrick Swayze, and that's I'm sorry.
How can
no
you
Zen
not?
Moments? You know.
Or how about this? As you bring up Patrick Swayze, how about we remake even movies that aren't bad, but make them correct? I was 47 when it dawned on me that Dirty Dancing is an illegal movie. How old is Patrick Swayze? That girl's 17? I don't think I realized that. This movie should have been not even made, let alone 5 minutes. Why are they everybody cheering for them at the end and singing? He's breaking a law. There's nothing. Don't put baby in a corner. Don't let baby in the room with him. Right. We're going to get to a news break here. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
It's time for your workout.
And one and two, and one and two. Get those leg warmers on.
Headbands.
Yes. And a lot of spandex. Lot of spandex. Man,
more is always better.
I always say the people that got in on Microsoft when it first started, they're saying, get on spandex in the 80s.
It was everywhere.
You never have to worry about money again. We've been talking food a little bit today, and we're going to continue that conversation. If you've been trying to eat better recently or want to start, this is for you. It's a list of 4 common health, quote unquote, health foods that dietitians and nutritionists say aren't always as healthy as you think.
Okay.
Number one on this list, I think, is number one for me and a lot of people out there, granola bars. I've been trying to eat healthier for a good couple of years now, for a while. And one of the first things I noticed was, I like granola. I'm going to eat more granola. That's healthy for me. And then I looked at the back of the label. wait a minute. It's
an awful lot of sugar. God.
So it's just being smart. I do eat a lot of granola, but it is just being careful about which brands you use in that.
Read labels.
Granola bars. It's true that there are granola bars with whole grains, nuts, and dried fruits, but even more contain high amounts of sugar, refined grains, hydrogenated oils, and artificial flavorings and colors.
Right.
Flavored yogurt. Yogurt can be a high-protein, low-calorie option, but the yogurt section at the grocery store is filled with flavored yogurts that are loaded with sugar, artificial sweeteners, and sometimes even candy. Really?
That kind of defeats the purpose.
The ones that you can flip the candy over on top of the yogurt.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why even eat yogurt? Just go to ice cream. Seriously.
I was just going to say, what are we doing here?
Well, there's probiotics, and it's got to have less overall fat than just straight up ice cream,
that's
right?
True. Probably true.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Probably
true. Then you should treat it like a dessert.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Juices. Store-bought fruit juice usually contains extra sugar and other additives. It's better just to eat a piece of fruit.
There you go. Yes. Natural fruits.
I don't think
or sugars, I should say.
I don't think it wasn't until I had kids and we were on a food share program. Mm-hmm. And part of the program was, well, you can only get 100% juices. You can't get any juices with sugar in them. So it made us all
the Hawaiian punch.
Yeah, which is that's heartbreaking to me. As a, I mean, if it's not marinara, it's Hawaiian punch my blood is made of. It's some weird
Ecto-cooler.
Oh, Ecto-cooler's nice reference. I mean, I love those kind of things, and I wanted my kids to be able to have them. And then I started looking at the labels of these things, and like, oh, yeah, there are only a handful of juices out there for kids that are 100% juice.
Right, with the no sugar added,
Yep, you have to read the labels.
Yep.
And as a side note, I never hear that as a positive of people that are on food share programs, that we're able to learn more about these things and learn more about that kind of stuff. There is some, you know, there's something to be said for that, too. And then finally, on this list, and you can find the complete list at thehuffingtonpost.com. It's also on a couple of other websites as well. Organic snack foods. We see the organic stamp on something and we just assume it's healthier. But cookies, chips, and other snacks labeled, quote, organic often have just as much sugar, unhealthy fats, and calories as non-organic versions.
Yes. That's just how it is produced. Doesn't mean it has anything to do with how healthy it is.
Exactly.
Organic, is that's all it means. That is produced in a certain way.
Easy marketing.
Oh, absolutely. But and because the what you can call organic, it's wide open. I mean, there's no real like litmus tests that you can use for that. You can say, well, one part of it is organic, so maybe I can call it organic now. I mean, I don't even know what the rules are. So
right. But I don't think that there's for a farm to be called organic is far more. It's huge what they have to go through to be able to get that. Mm-hmm. What they have to go through to put that on a label, I'm not so sure of.
I'm guessing that's pretty simple. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's look at the our condiments here. What's your favorite condiment and where does it rank as far as health goes? Someone asked nutritionists to name the best and worst condiments for our health, and here are the top three of each. The healthiest... Mustard.
I knew it. Mustard.
She did say it right as I said it. That was perfect timing. That was great. Salsa and straight vinegar.
All right.
Vinegar might be number one because it's good for your gut and adds a lot of flavor without adding salt, sugar, or fat. Mm-hmm. Mustard also has a little to no sugar, but it's salty. Salsa can be salty too, but has a ton of vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the least healthiest. Mayonnaise, ketchup, and barbecue sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Mayo.
High amounts of sugar.
Yeah, mayo is the worst because of the saturated fat. Ketchup and barbecue sauce are next because they're usually loaded with sugar.
Mm-hmm. Now, you can find, at least barbecue, I don't know about ketchup, but I know there's barbecue sauces out there that have, that you can find that have very little added sugar to them.
Yeah.
And those things, I search those out because they're actually, for me, they're better because I don't like sweet barbecue sauce. I like more the zesty kind of stuff.
Well,
so.
And the thing is, that's American ketchup.
That's true.
If you try ketchup in the UK, you be in for a surprise. It is not sweet. And they don't use it on things like hot dogs. You don't put ketchup on a hot dog.
Yeah. Which you shouldn't be doing anyway, people.
I got to be honest, I don't understand mayonnaise, so that one doesn't surprise me too much.
I don't understand ketchup. I really don't get ketchup.
I don't understand why ranch dressing isn't anywhere on these lists.
Great point. We will.
If we had to ask about condiments that I would prefer to eat on everything.
Yes, there you go.
I can't, but I would.
That's true.
If I could,
if you could,
ranch dressing.
If you could, what would you drench everything in?
Right. We will take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun to wrap up the show on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Got some good stuff to go over as far as some local things we want to touch on. Want to let everybody know tomorrow will be Melissa and I hanging out. We got good things lined up for you. And on Wednesday, the three of us will be back together, and we're going to get into wacky pet names.
Wacky!
The finalists for the Chug Chug, Chug Chug is on there. That's why
that's
I was going to
say that. Sounds like one, yeah.
Pet insurance company came up with their annual list of the wackiest pet names. We're going to get into that on Wednesday.
Pet insurance company.
It should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. And tomorrow, or Wednesday as well, I want to get into this one about the average American kid, how quickly they get bored. Ooh, we're going to touch on that one, too. Yeah, that should be an interesting one.
Pointing fingers.
Not a word you would use around my grandmother.
Bored?
Oh, yeah. My parents are the same way, yeah.
That was definitely one of those things that you had to be careful
about, too. Oh, you're bored, are you? Well, I got something
for you. I can fix that.
Yeah.
Are there any right stories? Is an interesting one, to say it lightly. High school kids have been pulling, you know, silly stunts for a long time. Mm-hmm. The key is not to be charged with a crime when you do
it. Something to avoid.
A 17-year-old student at Baker High School in New York was arrested for a stunt he pulled last month. He sent a fax posing as the principal, announcing that he was resigning. He was caught after the police realized he put his own cell number on the cover sheet of the fax. He created a fake email account. He did a bunch of these things. But we cannot lose sight of the fact that this is one of the young minds that is going to be working in the industry, working in the world one day, you know, very soon. 17 years old, right? He's already working. Put his phone number on the fax sheet.
The one thing he forgot, you know, the one clue they say that the criminal always leaves. Sometimes it's obvious.
Yes, yeah.
it's really obvious.
Yeah, that ain't right. That ain't right. Looking at our good stories of the day, we've got a couple of things lined up for you. One of them is, of course, our shows going on, our content for the day. Be sure to join us from 3 to 4 today for Playmakers.
Woo!
Nobody made a highlight from the sideline, getting the game. We want to hear your sports thoughts and feelings. We are going to be joined by the greatest listeners in radio, as well as Seth is going to be sitting in with us today as well. And we'll be joined by Tyler from the Rafters.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be joining us every other week. For leading up to the baseball season, and probably even more on a regular basis during the Rafter season.
Yeah.
Rafters.
That's gonna be getting close.
We are getting close.
Yeah. Rafters made a couple
month
announcements over the last week about like different giveaways and different promotional nights. We're going to talk about that during
lots
Playmakers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some of the exciting players they have brought in. It's going to be fun. We're looking forward to talking Rafter baseball and talking with you during Playmakers from 3 to 4 today. Big shout out to our friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids and joining us every Wednesday with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. And, of course, sponsors of Playmakers. We appreciate them. Milwaukee Bucks are in postseason action. We're going to be waiting on that, see where that things
roll
with that.
Will they schedule out, yeah.
But we can tell you that as of right now, and I mean as of right now, this could change in the next 5 to 10 minutes, there is baseball to be played tomorrow on WIRI. Merrill at Wisconsin Rapids High School baseball we're hoping to have on WIRI. 4:55, our pregame would start.
Not looking great right now. The weather looks like it's going to be putting an onion in our ointment, man.
As part of
why would you do that?
Yeah. One of the things that we enjoy is our partnerships with our nonprofits and our local businesses around here. And one of the great ones we have is with our Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Whenever you become a new chamber member, you get to join us on these airwaves for a little bit. And we have a new member joining us tomorrow morning at the kickoff, the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to have Shyler Calhoun joining us from the Relax, Refresh, and Reconnect Barber and Spa.
That's cool.
Oh, cool.
That's a long name, too.
They're a new chamber member.
Yeah.
We're going to talk with them and about the ribbon cutting coming up and about the business and find out more about them.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Got some good stuff going on there. And I want to remind everybody that your favorite Muppet podcast has got a new episode out. Puppet Masters of None. They're great guys. They do a really good job with their puppets. I'm joking. But it is a really
good,
if you are looking for a good podcast about puppets,
right.
done by puppeteers, Puppet Masters of None is actually a really good one. But I'm talking about What the Muppet, of course.
Yeah.
Bree and I have a new episode out today. I'm walking here. It's the name of the episode. I'm walking here.
Okay, I can just by that, and knowing what I know about the Muppets, I think I got an idea about who it's about, at least part of it.
Yeah,
I got an idea.
You might.
Yeah.
We had a real fun time with this episode. Encourage you to go ahead and check it out, everybody. And keep on spreading the word on the show, because Bree had a great idea about giving a contest to give away something to our listeners and our watchers once we hit 1,000 views. which we're right on the cusp of.
I was going to say, you got to be close.
Right on the cusp of everything. So help us continue to do that and spread the word of the show. If you want, find the video on YouTube. Go to type into your search bar, What the Muppet. And, of course, find it out wherever you get your podcasts. And thank you so much to everybody supporting the show and helping Bree and a young artist get her thing going.
Yeah, it's cool.
We have a great event coming up in town tomorrow, Seth. A great opportunity for people to donate.
Yeah, the next blood drive is happening tomorrow, like it does a couple times every month, at the former East Junior High School and room 111. That's at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Blood drive from 10 to 3 tomorrow. Appointments are encouraged. You can call 800-280-4102. That's 800-280-4102 to make an appointment. Walk-ins, of course, are also welcome. As long as they've got some space for you, they will take it, because we know how much we need this year-round, everyone. There's never an off-season for giving blood. So tomorrow from 10 to 3, and then we'll be talking about it more, but on Monday the 22nd from 2 to 7, they'll be there again. So keep that in mind, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Also keep in mind, if you are in the Stevens Point area, almost every day the Stevens Point Blood Donation Center is open over at 3201C Main Street. You can find it right down Main Street. It's not hard to find at all. Encourage you to reach out to them and find out more. And pretty much anywhere in your area, there is probably somebody, an American Red Cross or a blood opportunity to donate. Go to redcrossblood.org to find out more.
Yeah.
And our friends over at the United Way have a United Weekend Hunger event coming up.
You can
participate. You can put a team together. You reach out to our friend Ben at 421-0390 or ben@uwswac.org to find out more and get your team together. This is one of the best events that we have in this area every year. Want you to have a fun time with this one and get ready for it. It's an opportunity for us to not only take in a Rafters game, as the Rafters are going to be going up against the Battle Creek Battle Jacks starting at 6:35 that day, but it's also a chance for us to help out our community and put some good into the community.
And it's such a fun event, too. Yeah. It's so cool.
Fun to see the sculptures that people come up with.
Find out more at uwswac.org. Be sure to be listening this Thursday when Terry, CEO of the United Way, is going to be joining us. We'll talk more about this event. And, of course, you can find out more right now by following them on social media as well and jumping on their social media pages.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
A couple of quick stories for you from around the world. Two pool players named Russ Redhead and James Harrison Jr. had a big beef about a decade ago. They were huge rivals. But they eventually made up and became friends, and they're probably a lot closer now, as Russ just gave James a kidney.
Whoa!
He'd been on dialysis for 3 years, and he's doing great 2 months after surgery. James' wife could barely hold back tears talking about it. What a huge gesture
oh,
it was.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Very cool.
There's nothing like sports rivalries, and it's so cool to see one of them go this direction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Melissa, I don't know if Kevin's going to want to hear this one, but I got a special one for Kevin and all the cats out there. A 30-pound cat in Indiana named Thicken Nugget.
Whoa.
Is slimmed down using an exercise regimen usually reserved for dogs. A place called the Canine Aquatic Center is helping him swim with his way thin. In 7 weeks, he's lost 5 pounds. They're hoping he could drop another 10.
A cat swimming. Boy, that's a rarity.
Some cats do like water, but it's not a normal thing.
It's not a normal thing for cats.
Jump in the bathtub when it's empty.
Yeah. Now, every cat, when you're brushing your teeth, it is not uncommon for a cat to want to slack the water. When you just got a little bit of water running
something.
Yeah,
right.
Doing that, but yeah, that's a cool
being
story.
Immersed in it? No, not so much.
No. And the world's oldest gorilla just celebrated another birthday. Her name is Fatu. She was born in 1957 and lives in the Berlin Zoo. She celebrated on Friday her 67th birthday.
Wow. I didn't know gorillas who lived that long.
I didn't
That's
either.
Really
yes.
cool.
I thought that was pretty dang cool.
Amazing.
That's a pretty unique story. And we encourage you to be the good story out there and get it to us, everybody. Spread the word about good stories that you hear here. And, of course, get us your good stories.
Yeah.
Reach out to our staff or me, james.maleff@civicmedia.us. Of course, any feedback you have on our stations, we encourage you to always reach out to me. Hit me up anytime. Love hearing from all of you. Appreciate all that you guys do. You, too, have a great day.
You, too.
You, too, James.
Be good to each other. We will talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.